Think Realty Nation, it's your host, Abhi Golhar. Welcome to the Think Realty Podcast. Today's show, we're talking about economic trends that you might want to consider for your overall investing strategy. Now, every investor does things differently, but I want to kind of pick the brains of somebody from Temple View. His name's Matthew Schlegel, and we'll talk a little bit about what you need to know as an investor to capitalize and take advantage of the opportunities ahead of us for the rest of this year. Before we do that, I want to give a huge shout out to RealtyTrack, who is the sponsor of today's podcast. RealtyTrack is the leading source of foreclosure data for real estate investors and real estate agents. Receive the most up-to-date and trusted database of foreclosures, bank-owned properties, MLS listings, auctions, and short sales. Analyze property insights with comprehensive data and unlimited saved searches, which I think is pretty cool, and no need to pay per record fees. Visit www.realtytrack.com today to sign up and get started.
How you doing?
Good.
Good to see you.
Dude, there's a lot to talk about here. There has been, word on the street is, we got a lot of foreclosures coming, which I don't know who's saying this. Like, why? I get it. The topic of that conversation with the foreclosure moratoriums was a big thing last year. There's still a lot of investors shouting on the street saying it's going to be 20, 30, 40% dip in home prices, which I want to just kind of put, can we just kill that horse? Can we just do that?
Right.
Like, that's not going to happen.
I mean, it's going to be, we have still some time before we see that large influx of inventory come in.
Yeah,
from the foreclosures, the REOs, the bank-owned properties. I don't think, everyone that I've talked to, our clients directly, these major investors are still, they're not just sitting there waiting for those to hit the market right away.
So when it comes to the strategies that you're seeing some of your borrowers deploy, what are those? Are they fix and flips right now? Are they more rental? Are they more ground up new construction? What are you guys seeing? And where specifically in the market, in the US is like maybe a favorite area?
Yes. Yeah, so the biggest clients that we've seen have been able to keep their books up, right? Like the platinum high level flippers are able to, people who do this for their main income, not someone who does it as a side gig. They're still able to find off-market offers, but many of them have pivoted to ground-up construction. So buying lots due to lack of inventory, they're pivoting to ground-up, getting lots, getting them entitled, and creating inventory. Because as we all know, real estate is not sitting on the market long, and they're getting the lots, building the homes, and they're off the market super quick. So they're not sitting on these. They're not worried about having them sit on the market forever after they're built, because it's a long, building from the ground up is a much more intensive construction project, and so it's a longer plan. But they're not worried about having to get out of their loan quickly because they're not staying on the market very long at all.
Are you noticing any markets that are standing out against other markets, like Midwestern markets versus California and East Coast to West Coast kind of things?
Yeah, so it is a little bit all over the place, but the major markets that we're seeing are Hawaii is huge right now, surprisingly. A lot of separating, they call it CPR, so basically separating these multi-units into individual units and selling them off. So buying a quad and separating them and subdividing the land and building up from there. So Hawaii is a big market. Florida, Texas, Florida's huge. We have some clients there that are doing four a month, and the big play there is building multi-units. So from ground up, building four units and getting them tenant occupied in places like Fort Myers in Florida. On the west coast of Florida, we see it a lot, but all over Texas. Austin is booming right now with ground up. You can, a colleague of mine who works for Temple View down there said he can walk down the street and see four ground up constructions going on right now. So that's big. And then even up in New Jersey, one of our biggest clients is pivoted to ground up, and here in DC. So it's a little bit all over the place, but those are the hottest markets that we've seen so far.
If there's a strategy that you could pick for some of your pro investors, what would it be? Would it be buying and holding rentals? Would it be going toward your going through these markets and really digging in deep to establish relationships with some of these homeowners to buy their property, buy their land, and then do ground up instead of fix and flips?
Yeah, so it really depends. I mean, we have both. There's people who, you know, have a goal of owning 1,000 doors by a certain year. And so they're specifically hitting, places where property values are anywhere from like 100 to 200,000, and they're able to get a much higher cap rate on those and have their debt service be significant and cash flow, at a high level, and building their portfolio up to a 1,000 loans to create that passive income. Then you also have investors who are construction heavy and have their GC license or have a partnership with a really good GC, and their goal is to, you know, break the record in the market of building the best luxury home and breaking the record on that street and continuing to flip. But with interest rates so low, we've seen on the DSCR product, we have seen a lot of people pivot to, like I said, either the ground up or buying a distressed home, rehabbing it, getting it occupied, and refinancing into the DSCR loan. Dude, you know, we're down in like the high threes for DSCR rates now. It's crazy. So that is that's a huge place to capitalize. But you know, people who have stuck to flipping houses, they like that niche and they are pivoting to ground up and again, trying to break that record in the market.
So question for you, how risky is too risky for you guys for a new build single family home? Is it that home that's say $5 million on exit when they eventually sell it? Is it 15 or 20 million? I was speaking with a realtor in Austin. Funny you bring up Austin. I was speaking with a real estate agent in Austin, and he was like, well, you know, we're looking for financing. Here are the numbers. 3 million acquisition of the land. Seven and a half million to build, and then exit for 18 to 19. Is that too much risk on the luxury market that you probably will say, well, maybe not? Or are you looking for more of the, you know, reasonable luxury home, which would represent your 800,000 to maybe like 1.75, maybe 2 million?
Yeah, I mean, so $17 million is that's a little bit out of our wheelhouse. That's a really specific buyer that you're looking, right? You're not going to the market with an average home there. You're looking for the multimillionaire who's looking to buy something insane and break the market. We are looking for, and again, it depends on the market. Somewhere like California, we're okay with a $4 million, $5 million exit, depending on the neighborhood, but it really depends on the part of the country, right? We lend nationwide. So up around here, we're okay with like a $2 million exit. We're located in Bethesda, Maryland. This is where our headquarters are. And that's kind of the market. Home prices are increasing nationwide. But if you're in, down in Florida, depending on the market, probably 800 to a million. I think the overall message is that we would like to see the exit be on the mid to high level average of home prices. We're not looking for someone to break the record, even though I know that's a lot of people's goals and a lot of investors' goals to break the record in the neighborhood. And it's a good goal to aspire to. But as a lender from a risk standpoint and what we're looking at, we would like to see you trying to exit at the middle market, the average of what that neighborhood will take.
A question about multifamily. There's a lot of speculation and conversation around stimulus for multifamily owners and the fact that when that stimulus goes away, and as it goes away, they being the multifamily owners, whether it's motels or multifamily apartment complexes, say, the idea is they will probably not be able to make ends meet. Is that something that you're seeing potentially happen? Is there an opportunity there that I should focus on?
Potentially. I mean, we focus strictly on 1-4 unit. At Templeview, we can, for the multifamily level, I mean, it does depend. I mean, you can make ends meet, but also you have more, if you have a 2-unit, for example, right, and you're banking on those being occupied and cash flowing for you. If both of those tenants, decide to leave and you can't fill those, you're stuck on that, and you're paying for that with zero income coming in. Whereas a multifamily, if you have 10 units and you have seven of them occupied and a couple of them leave, you still have those five occupied to leave. So that's the argument there, I think, where you could be a little bit safer. But if the bottom falls out, then you're stuck with a big multi-unit that might be hard to get rid of.
I agree, and that's why I've always loved single family rentals. It's the most liquid of an illiquid asset class. So that's kind of interesting, or what's perceived to be an illiquid asset class, which I think is kind of interesting. Let's talk about your draw process. You work with a lot of new investors, pro investors around the country. They love doing fix and flips, the single family from one to four units. How is your draw process different than that of some of your competitors?
Yeah, so we have a really unique draw process, and it's one of Templeview's biggest attributes. We advance the draws on our rehab draw schedule. So when one of our investors closes, and that depends on your tier. So if you are a more experienced, you can get the benefit of advanced draws. And what happens there is what we've seen in the marketplace is investors want to stay as liquid as possible. So lowest cash to close, and throughout the project, they want to stay as liquid as possible in case problems arise, which they often do. And so with advanced draws, what we do differently is you'll close on the property, and within 48 hours, you're going to get your first draw before any work is started. So it's a percentage-based draw schedule. So all the line items are drawn out with percentages. And so will your first draw, let's say it's 30% of your draw schedule, that allows you to go do whatever work you want to do. We're not going to plan your project. So if you want to knock, if it's raining for 2 weeks straight and you were planning on doing exterior work, but you want to get some items done inside, you're going to get the money up front to do those items. And we're going to inspect that was done correctly. And then we're going to give you the money for your next set of items. Whereas traditionally in this space, it's all reimbursement, where you have to go do the work out of pocket, inspect that it was done appropriately, and then they will reimburse you for what you've done. So that really lets people stay as liquid as possible, stay cash heavy.
So Matthew, I think that's phenomenal, first of all. Like, I don't hear a lot of lenders doing that. Kudos to you guys for pushing that out there. The obvious question that I have is, how the heck do you mitigate risk as a lender when advancing draws?
I mean, it's really not that much risky. If you're true, we're trying to be true asset-based lending, right? We're not reviewing, at Templeview, we don't review your bank statements. We don't review to make sure you have the reserves. We're truly looking at the asset. And we have one of the best, I would call the best or market leading rehab departments in this space. So we have, on-site project managers that are reviewing every project, adding contingencies if need be, if something seems light. The manager of that department has done work specifically in all 50 states on REO properties. So we're really comfortable with the staff that we have in that department. And then our draw management team is phenomenal. I'll be completely honest. Back in like 2017, our number one customer complaint was probably the draw process and the draw management. And just it took forever to get a draw. And it was all because we were doing it third party. So we brought all of that in-house and hired a great draw department manager. And he is very, thinks with common sense, and we are really flexible in that department. The another big attribute there is we use a technology called TruePick, where it's you're getting a link. And so we're not sending an inspector out to your house to see what the work has been done. You're getting a link, and you're taking the photos as the investor of the work that you've done, and then sending it back. So you can theoretically request a draw in the morning, get the TruePick link, take the photos of the work that was done. We'll confirm that it was all okay, and you'll get your draw released that evening. So it's it could be less, an 8-hour turn time to get your draw.
That's the way to use tech. That's like my one thing for lenders today. Even it's just like use tech. Or just hey, like, your guy, not to fall, like, just don't sleep ever, right? Like, that's,
I know,
that's the name of the game, right? You're going to be high on caffeine for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no sleep, just pushing these draws through. Like, that's kind of the name of the game. So cool, man. Dude, I appreciate the time. If I'm a borrower and I'm like, hey, I want to check out Temple View and what they got, maybe it's a good option for me. What's the best way to do it? Is it to dial 911?
No, so I mean, probably to reach out on our website. You know, we're very responsive that way. If you request a quote on our website, you'll get within the hour, you'll get a response from someone. They all funnel through me. So I am working almost 24/7. So I'm going to get those out to my team immediately. And if the phones are always ringing, the phones are always on the hook. And so, you know, we have team ready there to pick up and give you quotes, get you all the information you need.
Excellent. Dude, you look great for a guy that hasn't slept for the last week. Awesome. I need some tips.
Appreciate it.
You got it, man. Matthew, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I'll see you.
All right. Bye.
This segment's brought to you by Think Multifamily. Whether you're a passive investor looking for passive income or an aspiring syndicator and ready to learn how to go big fast, Think Multifamily is the industry's leading acquisition and education company who's here to help you invest for your family's future. Visit www.thinkmultifamily.com. All right. So, you know, when you think proactive investing, what do you ultimately think about? And this is an article written by Lorraine Beato, and she talks about a couple of interesting ideas. The first of which is avoiding risk. The second, controlling risk. The third, transferring risk. So, when you think about controlling risk, right, does that mean paralysis of analysis? I think maybe to a lot of folks it does, especially in a large multifamily deal. Or even in a single family deal, you can still run the risk of paralysis of analysis. But if that gives you the feeling of having control, then that can be a dual-edged sword. On the one hand, you want as much analysis as you can handle, but on the other hand, you're never going to pull the trigger because you want control of this analysis. You kind of see where that's going. But to her point, it makes sense. Quote, not every risk can be avoided, which is why risk control is the most common mitigation strategy. Maintaining a property before the problems occur, such as maintenance on HVAC system, makes a tenant more likely to want to stay and pay rent. The other thing about risk control is the following. Use automation to see when your HVAC and when your electrical and when your plumbing can potentially go wrong. There are a lot of companies out there that have predictive analysis that can help you understand, hey, my HVAC, it was made 5 years ago, installed 6 years ago, installed 7 years ago. Maybe I should figure out what's going on with that. And there is tech that you install on these devices, on these systems, that will tell you when there is a rumble, there could be something wrong with that piece of equipment. So something else to take a look at. Again, risk control. Risk avoidance is, quote, defining a potential risk and having the ability to avoid it is one of the best ways to eliminate it. For example, if you want to avoid a non-paying tenant, then make sure you do a thorough background check. Good point. These are some of the qualities of a Hallmark Pro investor. A Hallmark Pro investor will not dip his or her toes into a murky water. We'll dip toes into a water that's absolutely clean. And the way that we make sure that it's clean is by looking at it. So what Lorraine is saying in this article is, hey, you know what? If you don't do a background check, and if you don't do a credit check, and if you just don't meet your potential tenant, guess what's happening? That's right. You are running into a lot of risk that you cannot control and that you will not be able to avoid. So if you want to read this article, check it out. Go to thinkrealty.com under investing strategies. The title of this article is called Proactive Investing. This was a very interesting show. We talked a lot about what types of single family financing you can get with Temple View Capital, and more specifically, their new draw request, which I think is industry groundbreaking. Like, you got to go check them out. Go to templeviewcap.com. All right, I think that is the show. If you have any questions, get in touch. You know how to do it. But I will say that we got to give a huge shout out to the sponsors of today's show, which is RealtyTrack.com. Check them out. RealtyTrack is the leading source of foreclosure data for real estate investors and real estate agents. Receive the most up-to-date and trusted database of foreclosures, bank-owned properties, MLS listings, auctions, and short sales. Analyze property insights with comprehensive data with unlimited safe searches and no need to pay per record fees. www.realtytrack.com. Visit them, check them out, sign up, get some good leads. It's Abhi. Happy investing. I'll see you next time.